For our text this morning, as our Lord's Supper meditation, I want to spend a little bit of time considering a few Psalm 8, verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? And after the ministry of the word, we will sing from Psalm 89, stanzas 3 and 5 in response. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning again we have the privilege of celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And from time to time it's good to just stop and really reflect on what it is that we're doing here. It's easy for us to read the form out of habit, out of custom, and not to really think about the implications of what it means. It's easy for us to come here distracted by our own thoughts. And so it's good before we begin to do this to just reflect for a moment what it is that we are doing here. And Psalm 8 can help us recapture the proper perspective on what is happening here this morning. Psalm 8 is a psalm of amazement at God's grace. The psalmist is amazed that the same God who created the universe is willing to involve himself with us, willing to have anything to do with us at all, and willing not only to have something to do with us, but even to invite us to his table. It's easy for us to lose our sense of privilege at what this is. We have the privilege of knowing the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. He's interested in us. He cares for us. That thought amazed the psalmist. And upon reflection, it amazes us as well. And so this morning I may preach to you the gospel under the theme, "What is man that you care for him?" Have you ever gone camping on a really clear night and looked up at the stars? If you look on a clear night with a naked eye, as they say, you can see about 2,500 stars, planets, that kind of thing. That's about what the psalmist would have seen. And he was already awed by what he saw. But he had no idea how big the sky really is. It hasn't really been until the last few decades that we began to understand how big this place is that we call the universe. Think, for example, of our solar system. The sun surrounded by the planets, and that would include Earth. If you could take that whole solar system and shrink it down to the size of a quarter, the sun would be a speck of dust. The Earth would be invisible. You know how close the next closest star would be? If it was also on that scale, it would be 2 football fields away, another quarter. It would take you 70,000 years in the fastest possible spacecraft to get there. And that's only one star. There are billions of stars in our galaxy and billions of galaxies in the universe. You try to wrap your mind around that, you just become tired with the numbers. It's incredible. The psalmist felt small when he looked up at the sky. And it seems that the more we comprehend that, the smaller that we feel. And the psalmist already asked the question, what is man? And the answer is nothing. On that kind of a scale, you are nothing. All of your plans, all of your social activities, all of your accomplishments, all of your possessions, all of your relationships, nothing. Or does it really matter? On the scale of the universe, these things are completely meaningless. They mean nothing whatsoever. And the psalmist understands that, but he doesn't despair. Instead, his thoughts turn to God, because God has revealed himself to the psalmist through his word. You see, the universe, as big as it is, cannot tell you who God is. It can tell you that the universe he made is an enormous place, but it does not tell you who God is or how he stands in relation to us. For that, you need his word. And his word tells us, as it does this morning, that he is not only aware of us, but he made us. He cares for us. You think about that for a moment. You think about this universe, the size that it is. And it says in verse 3, the heavens are the work of his fingers. If you want to talk about scale, his fingers. You thought the universe was big. Well, God is bigger. And his word says that this creator God, who made the heavens and the stars with his fingers, has reached out to human beings. He has given them the privilege of knowing him. He's reached out to them. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. John Calvin once made the comment that God did not need to reveal himself to people. He's surrounded by the hosts of heaven. He's got, if it's worship, he's got angels worshiping him day and night in perfection. He did not need to reveal himself to people like us who are dust and ashes. And yet he created people. He revealed himself to them. He gave them a position of the highest honor as his deputies on earth. Now, even before the fall into sin, this was already an enormous privilege. Yes, you are nothing when compared to the scope of the universe. And yet, says the psalmist, God is mindful of man. He is mindful. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the word translated as mindful points to remembering. God remembers us, and he doesn't just remember us in the sense that you remember to pick up the milk on your way home from work. It's not as if God says, oh yeah, planet Earth with those human beings, yeah, I remember making those. That's not the kind of remembering he's talking about. This is an act of remembering that involves doing something. It's the same word, actually, that we just heard in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to do what? To keep it holy. He remembers, and there's an action associated with it. That's why the psalmist also says, remember me and help me, in Psalm 106, verse 4. You see, when God remembers us in this way, when he is mindful of us, he's moving towards us. God can only remember us in this way because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, he has taken away the sins that stand between us and him. And that's why we're celebrating Lord's Supper here this morning. Because Jesus came into this world. He came into this world to die for our sins. The God who made the universe with his fingers sent Christ into the world, took on a human nature, sat at a table and ate and drank, and he remembered us. And this morning in the Lord's Supper table, he moves towards us and he assures us that he has forgiven all of our sins. Not only is God mindful of us, but he also cares for us. It says, the Son of Man, you care for him. And that word translated as care can mean to visit, and it can mean to inspect. It means to look at something very closely, to scrutinize. Until Christ came, we didn't know how compassionately and how carefully God inspects people. But Jesus knew people. He lived among them. He observed them with all of their weaknesses, and he loved them anyway. God's inspection shows how thorough he is in loving us. All of us have parts of our lives that we're not proud of. God knows about those. His inspection is that thorough. And yet in Christ, he offers us love and he offers us forgiveness. But there's also a warning in that, because his inspection is terrifying to those who persist in sin. If we refuse to let go of our sin, God sees that as well, and he inspects that. In Jeremiah 23, verse 2, the Lord is criticizing the shepherds who exploit his people. He says, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, you have not attended to them or cared for them, and behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. So it's the same word attend. And both of those meanings show, you didn't care for my flock, therefore now I will care for you. I'm going to inspect you. I will visit you, but then in anger. I will deal with you. And that's a terrifying thing. So this morning, if there is outstanding sin in our lives, we must confess it and turn away from it. And the Lord's Supper reminds us to take that seriously. So, brothers and sisters, today we may celebrate the Lord's Supper as we are now going to do. And Psalm 8, verse 4 teaches us to respond to this with awe. What is man that you would care for him? But the Lord does care for me. And that's amazing, isn't it? Amen.